us on God's abundant life.
Okay, we don't have much time, so I'm going to make it short. When the pastors asked me to do this message, I asked the Lord, what do you want me to speak on? Because I want it to be from you, not from me. So he just gave me the word treasure. So my title is Treasure on Earth and in Heaven. And I am the care pastor for the Generation Plus Ministry. Okay, so my message is on Matthew 6:19-20. It says, lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal. So I asked him, so what does this have to do with abundance? So I looked up, what is treasure? Treasure means wealth, such as money, jewels, or precious metals. It's also something of great worth or value, such as a person esteemed as rare or precious. You know the saying, you can't take anything with you when you die. There's nothing wrong with wealth. God is the one who generously gives people success with resources and money. Ecclesiastes 5:19 says, God has also given riches and wealth to every man, and he has allowed him to enjoy them. Take his reward and rejoice in his labor. This is a gift of God. But when we become more concerned about the gifts rather than the giver, our possessions become idols. I believe that God treasures and values people more than money or wealth. Look at your life. What do you value most? If there was a disaster today, who would you say first? People or your money? And I would say my family first. I believe that God treasures, there is treasure in every person here, yes, as God has placed different talents in each one of us. And I'd like you to tell the person on the right, you are a treasure, and you are needed in this body. And tell that to the person on your left. You are a treasure, and you are needed in this body. 1 Corinthians 12:14 says, for the body is not one member, but many. And in Matthew 22:36-39, he says, teacher, which command in the law is the greatest? He said to him, love the Lord your God with all your heart and all your soul and with all your mind. This is the greatest and most important command. Amen. The second is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself. Amen. So we are meant to use possessions and love people. Not love possessions and use people. We will either worship wealth or worship with our wealth. And Pastor Jake and Pastor Julie always say that money is for people. We need to care for people first and help them to know and believe in Jesus. People are the treasures we can store in heaven, the ones we bring up to heaven through salvation. A tithe is 10% of our income, and an offering is anything given beyond that, but not in place of the tithe. If you have more than enough, you can help many people through our offerings to alms, or evangelism and missions, or to the other categories by giving to Birth Believers Children Ministry, which many of you have come through, Young Professionals Ministry, Youth Ministry, Life Fit for Eternity, Children's Ministry. If you send your children to Children's Ministry, I think that we should put our money where our treasures are. That is how you can use your possessions to help and love people. Yes. Pick and choose the ministry of your choice. Nothing is worth more than knowing and honoring Jesus and helping his treasures, his people, and see them get to heaven. Yes. Which, you know, Pastor Jake is preaching, you know, on bringing culture. And I hope this helps everyone understand what, you know, he is talking about, what the Lord is telling him, and what he is obeying and doing. Yes. Okay. Well, was that short enough? Here at the Ark, we have three quick and easy ways that you can give, as you can see on the screen behind me. Whichever method of giving you choose, we hope that you will give cheerfully and intentionally to the Lord. If you choose to give electronically, we would like to encourage you to still bring your giving slip, indicating that you give through PushPay, and present yourself to the Lord. If you're a member of the Ark family during our time of giving, would you please be certain to greet some of our guests around you and make them feel welcomed. Guests, you are very important to us. Amen. And we are so glad that you are here. During our time of giving, we'd like to welcome you and be a blessing to you. Some people may come up and give you a kind word and a handshake. Some people may place a gift in your hand. Please receive their gift as a blessing for you personally. The Bible says that wherever your treasure is, your heart will be there also. And we want our heart to be with you. If you would like a giving envelope, please raise your hand to indicate to an usher that you would like to have one. There are also giving envelopes on the back of the chair in the middle of the row in front of you. In this church, we believe that the Bible says, bring your tithes. So we will place some baskets at the front area for you to place your gift. Once you have filled out your giving envelope and are ready to give, please come and give, and then greet any guests around you. Ushers, can you please bring up the baskets?
When you're ready to give, would you come and give? lights on and ready to go.
Heavenly Father, thank you for your many blessings. And I thank you that as we give our tithes and offerings, we are using our possessions to increase your treasures in heaven. Thank you, Lord, for meeting our financial needs, that we may have more than enough to give into the kingdom of God and promote the gospel of Jesus Christ. We are not limited by the world's economy, but heaven's economy is ours. Bless your people and let your blessings come in from every direction. And bless the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. In the mighty name of Jesus, amen.
Amen.
And now, I would like to introduce our illustrious Pastor Jake, who will be continuing his message.
Thank you, Pastor Faye. You're too kind. I don't know about illustrious, but thank you. Well, you can have your seats. Thank you guys so much. It's great to have you in the house of God today, and I noticed that my comment about the devil staying at the back got some of the people that normally sit at the back closer to the front today. You know I'm just kidding. The devil is not closer to the back, unless you bring him with you or something. I don't know, but we're going to just release our kids' class teachers over onto this side over here, and then the kids are going to go and run and meet them in just a moment. Parents, if you'd like to have your kids go to kids' class, you're welcome to do that. Of course, we're always happy to have them stay with us in the main service as well. You don't have to send them off. If they're between the ages of 4 and 12, you're welcome to have them go to our kids' class, and they will be well taken care of. As they go, we're just going to bless them. Lord God, we thank you for these young people. We thank you, God, that there's a harvest in every seed. And Lord, we thank you that these are arrows in the hands of the Lord. God, we pray for increase and blessing over them. Let the word of God get into their hearts and let it change them and set them up for a life of serving you and of great success and potential and future and destiny in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen, amen, amen. Well, we're so glad that you're here today. We know that God's going to minister to your heart. And Pastor Jolie and I just want to say a big thank you to all of you that gave in your kind words, that gave financially and everything to help us to put a new roof on our garage. So we're in talks already about getting some garage things done because our roof needed some help. So thank you so much. You know, the Bible says to owe no man anything but your love, and you don't owe us anything, but we're so thankful for your words of thanks, for your gifts and everything. We receive that. And, you know, I just wanted to let you know, I didn't really know how to handle this, to be honest, because, how do I put it? I know that sometimes things can look strange, and so I wasn't really sure what to do. So I was just like, you know what? I just want to talk about it real quick. So I hope that's all right. What I want to talk to you about is that, so our family, we were able to purchase our first home after 18 years of marriage in this past January. It was an amazing thing. We've done our part. We saved a lot. We lived beneath our means. We were wise. We got counsel. We got help. And then we moved when the Lord said to move. And we've been investing in that house. We've been remodeling it since the day that we bought it, literally from the day that we bought it. We bought it, and within the first 10 minutes of having the keys in our hands, we had 4 walls already torn down. It was pretty amazing what you can do with chainsaws and sledgehammers in a short amount of time with great motivation and some skilled people with you. And, you know, because of that, we really believe that the Bible says that it is required in a steward that a man be found faithful. And so for all these years, we've been very faithful with our finances. We've not been in debt. We're just people that we don't believe in having debt. Even with our house, thank God that it's worth more today. Actually, we bought it, and it was appraised at higher than what we bought it for. So technically, that's not even debt either. We're actually in the plus. We're in the black on that. But, you know, we've been talking a little bit in this house about living by faith and not by sight. How many of you guys remember that message? I hope that you remember that series on faith. We have a culture of faith. We believe that we ought to live by faith and walk by faith and not by sight, because the just shall live by faith. And so, you know, in the situation that God has brought us into in this house, we wanted to be very faithful, and we would go on a vacation once a year with our family, and we just said, you know, this year, we're just not going to do it, because we're going to be smart about our finances. We're gonna hang on to that money, the money that we could have spent on a vacation and everything. We're going to invest that into our house, and we have some goals and everything like that. And, you know, I wanted to be really careful, because I know a number of you gave. I want you to know that every penny of that is going to go towards the garage thing. And we weren't going to go on this vacation, and let me tell you where I fell short. Here's the thing, is that the Bible tells us to walk by faith and not by sight. And God told us, if you would build my house, I'll build your house. That's the word that the Lord gave us like 18 years ago, and we've been standing on that word. And here's, you know, it's so funny. We can get off course sometimes in our own thinking. And for me, I got so wrapped up in being a good steward. Now, that's not a bad thing. That's a good thing. But I got so wrapped up in being a good steward that I forgot to live by faith. And you know, the better that we see, the harder it is to walk by faith and not by sight. And so over this past fast, actually on the last day of the fast, God spoke to me so strongly as I was driving in my car. And for those of you that don't believe that God speaks, that's fine, but he speaks to me. And God spoke to me really loudly, and he said, you have to go on that family vacation. You have to go. And this is the reason why he said it. He said, you have to go because you need to take your kids. One thing that you might not know about ministry is that ministry involves everyone in your house. It doesn't just involve us. It's not our vocation. It is our calling. It's our lifestyle. And you may not know this, you may not understand this if you're not currently in ministry, but when we're in ministry and we get called at all hours of the day and all hours of the night, and we have to run off to the hospital here, and we run off to do a funeral there or a wedding here or whatever and minister to people in the body, it takes us away from our kids because we're spending time with y'all. And we're happy to do that. Don't get me wrong. We're so happy to do that. But you know what? We're not willing to do ministry and lose our family. And I felt so strongly in my spirit that God said, you have to take your kids on this vacation. So we're going to go. And I'm so thankful. I mean, they were fasting. I think they were fasting and praying. Actually, Dakota was fasting and asking the Lord. He was asking the Lord to allow us to go if we could. So thank God for airplane miles. Thank God for hotel points. And so our trip costs very little. But I just wanted to put you at ease. Just because you see that we're going to be going on vacation, it's not because of the money that you gave us. It's what we put on the side. And so thank you so much. We're going to apply everything that you gave to us for that garage. We're going to make sure that it is watertight in Jesus' name. But we're also going to take our kids on this trip. And it's very important to the Lord on behalf of our children that we do that. So thank you for understanding that. I just wanted to make that really clear, because we know that it is impossible that offenses will not come. And we wanted to make sure that we said something so that you don't think, oh, we gave them money for their garage roof and then they went on vacation with it. That's not what happened at all.
but God spoke to us that we needed to do that. So thank you for supporting us in that. We do want to tell you on that note, we are so excited that Pastor Paul Sachewaller, who is a good friend of ours, a good friend of the ministry, is going to be coming to minister. And it just so happens it's going to be on the weekend that we're gone. And so we're going to come in. Pastor Jolie is going to lead worship, and then Pastor Paul is going to preach for us. And he's a minister in Hong Kong. Please pray for Hong Kong. It is rough there right now. You're not seeing hardly anything of what's going on, but they're breaking windows at Starbucks. They're vandalizing places. There's a lot of violence going on with the police and everything that you're not seeing on the news. So please pray for peace in Hong Kong. Please pray for the Christians in Hong Kong because they're getting persecuted. And please pray that they would be safe and that there would be some normalcy that's restored there and that good things come out of this particular situation that they're in. Would you agree with us in that? Amen. All right, awesome. That's December 1st. You don't want to miss it. Pastor Paul's a great minister. Pastor Stewart's going to be hosting him on that day as we run off to the airport. But thank you. Don't not show up just because we're not going to be here. You should come. It's going to be great. Amen?
Amen?
Thank you so much for letting me take a short departure there. I thought it was really important to share that with you guys. Well, we're going to dive into the message for today. I'm continuing on with our series on redefining culture. By the way, this is going to be the final message in this series of redefining culture. We're talking today about the bringing culture. Now, the rest of the year, we're probably going to have one-off messages. We're going to have a special Thanksgiving message and everything. It's going to be awesome. But if you want to take some notes, and I suggest that you do, you can do that right in our app if you want to download that if you don't have it already, or you can just go right to the app if you've got it. It's in the notes section down there. And then you could also pick up a set of notes at the back if you want to take notes there, or just do it the old-fashioned way, because like my friend says, a short pencil is better than a long memory. So we're going to dive right into the bringing culture. We're talking about the bringing culture. This is really part two of the bringing culture, but it's going to stand alone. So don't worry, you will not have missed anything. It's going to be wonderful for you. I want to talk to you about two common barriers to bringing people. You see, we believe in a bringing culture in this church. We don't only believe it in this church, we believe that it is the Bible to bring people, that people consistently brought people to Jesus. They were being brought. The gospel was spread much like a network marketing company. It was spread person to person and changed life to changed life. And so we believe that that continues today. In fact, Jesus's great commandment to the church is go into all the world and make disciples of all nations. You know, you can't disciple somebody if you're not around them, if you don't bring them, if you don't have them with you. And so it is our great commandment from Jesus Christ himself to bring people to his house. Remember, we're not bringing people to church, we're bringing people to Jesus. That's why we come to church, because Jesus is here. I want to talk to you about two common barriers to bringing. Here's the first one. The first one is this: a fear of failure or rejection. Anyone ever feel the fear of failure or rejection? Ever feel that? Yeah, I don't like that. I don't like rejection at all in my life. In fact, I try to do everything possible to avoid rejection. I try to avoid it like the plague. I don't like it at all, but I've learned how to master my fear in some ways. Some of you might have listened to a recent message. I preached it when we were out at family camp about the tactics of the enemy. Do you know that fear is a tactic that the enemy will use, that the devil will use to shut you down? Fear. The fear of failure, the fear of being rejected. The devil will use fear as a tactic to stop you from being a doer of God's commandments. You know, sometimes we can even feel sometimes that we don't want to try if we're not going to do it perfectly. Anyone ever feel like that? You know, I felt like that all the time because I like to do things perfectly. Although I seldom do, I would prefer to do it perfectly. I don't like to make any mistakes. So sometimes I would prefer to not do anything at all rather than do something and make mistakes. But you know what? I think we need to learn to have courage. Amen. Courage is not the absence of fear. Courage is what we do in the face of fear. Courage is something that when fear is there and looming large, we choose to face it anyway. You see, the Bible says in Joshua chapter 1 and verse 9, in the Amplified version of the Bible, it says it right here. Have I not commanded you? I want to stop right there real quick. This is a commandment from God. He commands us this following thing. Have I not commanded you? Be strong, be vigorous, and very courageous. Why would you need to do all of those things? Why would God need to command you to be courageous? Not just courageous, but very courageous. Because you know what? Some things are going to come up into your face and try to scare you from doing what God wants you to do. The Bible tells us in the book of, I think it's Luke chapter 10, verse 19. I believe that the Bible says this, that behold, I give to you the power to tread or walk upon serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means harm you. Have you ever thought about why God would give you that power and that ability? I mean, if you never had to use it, it would be a worthless ability, wouldn't it? But God gives us the ability to walk on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy because someday you're going to have to do it. So he gave you the ability to do it, and while you're doing that, you're not even going to get harmed. Why do you need courage? Because fear is going to try to come. The Bible says, do not be afraid of sudden fear. How do you not be afraid of fear? It's called courage. It's called having boldness. It's about being strong and vigorous and very courageous. Do not be afraid, neither be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. You know, I think if I could just walk around with Brother James around me, now some of you might not know him or his background or whatever, but I feel pretty safe walking around with Brother James by my side. You know why? Because if somebody attacks me, he's going to defend me. Because he's going to help me out. See, I would feel safe having certain people by my side. Especially if God is on my side. The Bible says if God is for us, who can be against us? You know, God can beat up anybody. He really can. I in some ways, I hope that someone tries something so God will just vaporize them. But I know that's not the right heart to have. It would just be kind of cool to watch, you know, like, you know those blue light zapper things with the bug? And they're just like, psh. Wouldn't that be awesome if somebody's like running at you to destroy you and God just like, psh. That would be awesome. I think about these things because I was a youth pastor for a long time. See, it's not about being afraid of failure. It's about learning how to redefine what success is. I think sometimes we've defined success in a lot of different ways. Nowadays, some people tell me I gotta up my shoe game. Some people think that success is having all the shoes. I'm sorry, but I don't buy into that. All I need is the right shoe for the right job. That's how I define success. Because your shoes, your $650 Yeezy Doves, Turtle Doves or whatever, you don't even want to get those dirty. You don't even want to go outside in the rain right now with them shoes on. I'll walk outside with these shoes. I don't care. See, that's success to me because I can walk to my car and you can't. See, you got to learn how to redefine success because when we have success the way that the world defines success, whether it's having a perfect image, see, people come to church all the time and they show up and they want to put on this perfect image. Stop it. Everybody knows you ain't perfect. You're the only one that's deceived in thinking that anybody thinks you're perfect. Everybody else knows that you got flaws. It's like when you got mustard on your face, but you can't see it. But everybody else can, and you think that you're looking all good? Or it's like when your dress is stuck in your pantyhose. I don't know anything about that, personally, but I've seen it. You know, and you think that you're looking all good, but your thing is all stuck up in the... Everybody knows already. Why don't we just own up to it and be like, you know what? I'm not perfect, but I've got a perfect heart towards God. You know the guy that the Bible says had the heart after God's own heart? His name is David. He didn't do so hot as a measure of perfection. Not only did he sleep with another man's wife when the guy was fighting for him in a war, but then he went and murdered said man. so that he could take this woman, so that he could hide the fact that he had impregnated her. And then not only that, after she got pregnant and had a baby and everything, that baby died. I mean, David was not a perfect man, but I'll tell you what he was perfect in, his heart towards God. Nobody's asking anybody in this church or any other church, well, maybe other churches, but not in this church, we're not asking you to be perfect. We're not asking you to put on perfection as far as what other people see. All we're asking for is for you to have a perfect heart towards God. Remember first, a willing mind. See, you got to redefine success. Redefining success to me and through the Bible looks like this. Number one, success is doing the great commandment of Jesus. See, when you do what God tells you to do, that's perfection. That is success. But I wasn't successful in bringing them. I don't care. God said, go. He said, go. So when you take that first step in going, you're already successful. So you got to get over the fear of, well, what if I didn't accomplish it perfectly at the end? No. God said, go. And some people will never go because they're too afraid about not completing the mission. But you can't ever complete the mission without first going. See, when I used to play golf, and I wasn't ever any good, but one of the things that I learned was when you've got a birdie putt or an eagle putt, that means like you're below par, right, for that hole, never hit the ball short of the hole. I mean, if you're going to miss it by a mile past the hole. Why? Because if you don't even reach the hole, you never ever had an opportunity for the ball to ever go in. If you hit it past the hole, at least maybe it could have hit a pebble and bounced into the hole, right? But you never had the opportunity to even be successful unless first you go. So doing the great commandment of Jesus and going is success. Number two, simply getting out of your comfort zone and inviting somebody, you know what? That's success. You know why? Because you faced your fear. Because you decided to be very courageous. It's like, oh, what if they think such and such of me? They're going to think what they're going to think anyway. Just invite them. Overcome your fear with courage. Number three, loving someone enough to have courage despite your fear. You know, in these California fires that have been going on, I've recently seen some video footage of people that had their dog or whatever inside of the house, right? And the house is engulfed in flames. And these people are running into the house to save their dog. Now, to me, like, I don't know that dog. I don't care about that dog. Let the dog die. But they love that dog. And they're going to run in mortal danger for this house to be falling down. I mean, the firefighters are watching as this person just blows right past them. They don't even want to go in there to get the dog. But these people that don't have any gear on, they just got their shorts and their t-shirt running on into the flames to rescue their dog. You see, when we love people, it causes us to be courageous. When we love people, it causes us to be courageous. I love my kids like crazy. I love my wife like crazy. And you know what? Do not mess with my family. I will become very courageous at that intersection. And you don't want to see that side of me. You know what I mean? Maybe I don't know how to fight, but I'll pick up a chair and I'll throw it at you. I'm just kidding. I kind of do know how to fight, but you know. You know what I'm saying? I might not know this. I might not know that. I may not know Wing Chun, but I sure know how to. It's important to have love in our heart. Love causes faith to arise in us. And when faith arises, you get very, very courageous. When you love someone enough to have courage despite your fear. And then finally, not allowing setbacks to stop you. See, that's success. When you have something that is an apparent failure, or when someone else looks at it and like, oh my goodness, you're such a failure. Don't let that 13% in math stop you. I have a doctorate now, thank you very much. But I ended an entire school year in math, algebra, with 13% in that class. Don't let 13% stop you. See, if I stopped right there, my educational experience could have come to an end right there in eighth grade. But I chose, no, I'm better than that. You see, don't let apparent failures stop you. Can I just talk to a couple of things real quick? Maybe you've been married before, and I want to be very sensitive as I say this. Maybe you've been married, and maybe your marriage didn't end the way that you wanted to. Maybe it ended in a divorce or something. Don't let it stop you. Maybe one of your kids is not living the way that you had wanted them to live. Maybe they're not living in the way that you trained them to live. Don't let that stop you. Maybe you've had a failure in business. Maybe it looks like your business, you were an entrepreneur or something, and maybe your business went under. Do not let that stop you. See, your next success is just right around the corner. If Edison had let his failures stop him, we would be sitting in the dark right now. But no, you have to go past the point of failure. You cannot let apparent failure stop you. You know what? I would rather fail at trying to do something than never have done anything at all. To me, failure is sitting on the couch being too afraid to move, being shut out by fear. That's failure in my opinion. But when I rise up and I get courage in my heart to keep on going and to not stop when apparent failure is facing me, no, I'm going to keep going. See, somebody in here, you got to get this today. I'm speaking kind of prophetically to you today. You got to understand that stoppage is a design of the enemy to try to stop you in your tracks. I mean, talk to Mike and Debbie Chun right there. Go talk to them sometime about their business and what happened to their business. They don't even have the same business that they had before. But you know what? Thank God they don't have the same business they had before. It's better now, isn't it? I mean, thank God that they didn't get stuck with the failure of that business. Thank God that they didn't get stuck with the failures that they've seen in their past, but they've gone past it. And man, they are successful even by other people's standards. But just getting up and getting past the stoppage is important. Amen? I'm really trying to get off this point, but somebody needs to hear this today. You need to hear it that it's not over yet. Don't stop. While there's still breath in your lungs, you've heard it said before, we live in the dash, right? It's like you're born on date and your death date, and you live in the dash. See, your dash is still going. The book is still being written. The final chapter is not done yet. You've got to have a comeback in your life, but you cannot do it if you stop now. Breakthrough. Be courageous. Be bold. Be vigorous. Vigorous means full of life. Amen. Be full of life. Keep on going. Don't stop. Yeah. By the way, if your relationship needs some CPR, then give it some CPR. Don't just give up on it. Amen. Resuscitate it. Give it some life. Breathe back into it. Amen. The things that maybe have been missing before, pour it back in. Yes. All right, I'm going to get off of it. I don't know how many ways I can say the same thing. Get past the stop. Yeah. Yeah. Amen? Yeah. What does this have to do with the bringing culture? Nothing. It has to do with you because you're sitting here today and you need to hear this. Thank God for a church that hears God. Amen. Here's the second thing that stops people besides the fear of failure. It's the weight of responsibility. You know what? If I could just spend other people's money, I could do that real good. But when I have a weight of responsibility that I actually have to count the numbers. Remember, I had a 13% in algebra. When I got to count the numbers, oh, come on. But you see, there's some responsibility that follows up the bringing. It doesn't end there. You know, in 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 2, it says this. And the things that you have seen and heard of me from among many witnesses, commit these things to faithful men who will be able to teach others also. You know what that means? That means two things. It means we've got to remember what we were taught. That's why we hand out notes. That's why you should be taking notes, because you can't remember all this thing. That's why I have notes right here, because I can't remember all of this. I write it down. You got to remember what you heard. And sometimes the very thing that we come in, we hear it, and it goes right out the other ear. See, that's what being a doer does for us. We take it, we apply it, we remember it. See, if we just become a hearer only, the Bible says that when we do that, then we're like a person that looked in the mirror, and as soon as we walked away from the mirror, we forget what we look like. We get forgetful about the word that we just heard. But when we start to bring people, we have a responsibility to get what we know and get it across to them. Here's the second thing. We got to be able to show others how to get where we have gone and do what we do. Do you know how you got to where you're at? Because if it just happened by accident, that's not much of a plan. You see, we got to understand how we got to where we're going and where we've gotten to so far. I don't want to trust anyone who's never been someplace for me to follow them to that destination. You know what I'm saying? Oh, yeah, have you ever been there before? Nope. Well, I ain't following you then. I'll take my own GPS, thank you very much. Or I'll find somebody that's been there before so that I can follow them to the destination. You see, I'm confident that if you follow me, if you follow my life, if you follow what I do on a day-to-day basis, your life will end up very similar in the amount of blessing that you have to mine. Now, I might not be rolling in dough, but you know what? I'm stinking blessed. I'm healthy. I'm whole. I'm somewhat mentally stable. I've got friends, a couple of them, right here on the front row saying amen, you know. I mean, thank God. I've got a family, so I have built-in friends right there. You know, I mean, I'm a happy dude. And it's not because I'm rolling in dough. I'm happy because I'm blessed and I'm at peace. And my life is full of righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. And I can show you how to live like that. Because I've done it, and I'm still doing it, and I'm not giving up on it. And even though it takes courage, I'm going to continue to do it. You know what we have to do? We have to become a player coach. Like, there's some coaches that they can tell you, but they can't show you. I had lots of coaches like that. I played athletics from when I was really small. A lot of coaches that could tell you but couldn't show you. But then you got some guys that could play, but they couldn't teach you nothing. They're just like, oh, you just do this. And they're naturally talented. They suck. Like the guy who was a top recruit for Pepperdine University when I went to go and play volleyball there. Top recruit in the nation. 6'2", 240, jumped out of the gym and never touched a weight in his life. Hated him. I had to work so hard. But you know what? I can teach you something about working hard because I've done that. See, sometimes when people just come into things easy, they don't know how to teach it and show it. I didn't come across much easy in my life. But I can show you how to get to a place of success. I can show you how to be courageous. I can show you how to overcome fear because I've done that quite a bit. You just got to be bold. Face it. Do it. You got to become a player coach. Show people how to do what it is that you've done and how to get where you're going. You know, here's the thing. Here's where the responsibility comes in. The way that we live, when we start bringing people, the way that we live and what we do matters. It matters. It matters when someone's following us. You know, it matters. I remember there was a time that we were on the mainland with Pastor Ron and Pastor Mike guys and Pastor Stewart and Pastor Mari, and somebody was leading the caravan of vehicles, and we almost ended up in Mexico. You know, where you go when people are following you, it matters. If you're all alone, go to Mexico if you want to, but when there's people following you, it matters, doesn't it? See, sometimes we want to live in this anonymity. We want to live however we want to live. We don't want anybody following us because then we can feel like it's not true, but we feel like whatever we do, whatever we say, however we act, it doesn't affect anybody but ourselves. Liar. It doesn't only affect you. It affects all of the people around you. You ever hear that thing called the butterfly effect? Like, it's like, you know, if a butterfly flaps its wings in New York, it rains in Hawaii. You know, something like that. That there's a ripple effect. When you throw a pebble into a pond, it doesn't just sink to the bottom without effect around it. there are effects, there are ripples that go out from the choices that we make. If you don't think that's true, think about the solo person that decided to fly a plane into the Twin Towers. Their decision. Nobody else wanted to go. But your decision will affect everybody that's around you. Can I just tell you how you live? It matters. What you say matters. It's not just me up here standing. I just happen to have a microphone, but maybe your life is louder than mine out there. It's important what we do. And sometimes that fear of responsibility gets off on us. Can I just tell you something? Maybe that's good for us, because maybe that'll make us shape up a little bit, because it matters. You know what? I don't swear in my house. I used to swear a lot, but I don't swear in my house. In fact, I've eliminated it from my vernacular. You know why? Because I got kids, and I don't want them growing up with a potty mouth, because then I'll have to discipline them for that, and it's my fault. But you know what? How we live matters. Amen? 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 1. You guys getting something out of this? 1 Corinthians 11, verse 1 in the Amplified Version of the Bible says this. This is what Paul says to the Corinthian church. He says, pattern yourselves after me. Oh, man. Have you ever told somebody that? Watch me. Do what I do. Follow me. Everything that I do, do that. Pattern yourselves after me. I don't know about you guys, but like I learned how to sew. I don't remember how to do it anymore. I know you press the gas pedal and it goes, you know, watch out for your fingers. But I was sent to sewing class because I had to do something every summer. Something educational. So I ended up at Singer at Pearl Ridge learning how to sew, right? I learned this, that a pattern is important. You know why? Because if you don't have a pattern and you try to sew an apron, it's going to turn out like something else. I'll tell you a story about my sister. My sister decided one summer that she was going to make a bunch of aloha shirts. For those of you that are not from here, Hawaiian shirts. Okay? So she was going to make a bunch of aloha shirts, right? So she starts making these aloha shirts. Now, if you want to have a seam that is not visible on the outside, you have to do it inside out. Well, when you flip things inside out, sometimes it turns out a little bit funky when you flip it the other way. You notice that when you stand here, that your arms normally go in the downward direction. Well, when my sister sewed these shirts, she'd flip it back inside out and they were like this. So what'd she do? Bust out the seam ripper, rip, 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 rip. Flip it inside out, sew it back on. Hallelujah! I mean, this went on all day long, and I was enjoying every moment of it. Man, I just said, you just need to start selling praise shirts. That's what you need to do. And I mean, they just kept coming out with their arms this way. Oh, it was the greatest thing in the world. I loved it. You need a pattern. You need a pattern. Look, your life is a pattern whether you realize it or not. Somebody is following you whether you realize it or not. The things that I do, sometimes I look at what my kids do and I was like, doggone it, that's me. Most of the bad stuff, that's my wife. But the good stuff, that's from me. The other day, look, if you live in my house, you're going to get used in a sermon. Right? So the other day, he doesn't even know that I have it on video, but I have it on video. My son was outside in the yard with his throwing knives, because we allow that in my property. And so he's got his thing, and he's never seen John Wick or anything like that, but he's outside with his knives. He's flipping them, stabbing our papaya tree. Fighting with the papaya tree. Man, he had some moves. I'm like, yeah, that's my boy. That's what I would have done if I had throwing knives growing up. That's what I would have done. Fight with a papaya tree. Absolutely. Main thing is that you win because papaya tree not hit back. See, pattern yourselves. Paul is saying, if you want, I'll show you the video. I can airplay it right now. I'm not going to do that, Tim. It'll be on Facebook later. All right, anyway. Pattern yourselves. Paul is saying, how bold of Paul is that to say this? Follow me. Pattern yourself after me. Man, this guy's got some pride issues, doesn't he? Follow me. No, look. Follow me as I imitate and follow Christ. At the point at which Paul made any kind of a departure from the lifestyle of Jesus Christ, stop following. When you see somebody taking a wrong turn to go to the place that you're supposed to be meeting at, don't follow. But you see, we've got to become a pattern in our life. And many of us don't want to do that. That's too much responsibility. But that's what you're called to do. Your life is meant to be a pattern, an example, a GPS map. It is a way-finding thing for other people. You see, in this church, we exist to serve by showing the way. Whether you realize it or not, if you're a part of this church, your life is meant to be a pattern. It's meant to be a pattern for the people around you that don't know where to find righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. Look, just follow me. That's all you got to do. Just follow me. Can I just tell you, don't let the devil tell you that you're unqualified to bring people to Jesus just because you're not living perfectly yet. In fact, you know what? It's a great pattern of resiliency. When you fall and people see you, when they see you get back up again, man, that's encouraging. When I see people that are suffering and hurting and they get back up again, man, I feel bold. I like being around people like that because I know you're not a quitter. I like to be around people that don't quit because when I feel like I want to quit, you know what they're going to tell me? They're going to get up in my face, spit in my face as they say it, don't quit. Get up. See, I want that. I need that because there's a lot of times where I feel like quitting. Anybody in here ever feel like quitting? Don't quit. I'm not going to yell at you, but don't quit. Keep going. You're still in the dash. Keep on going. Look, we aren't bringing people to us. You got to understand this. You're not bringing people to you. You're bringing people to Jesus because he's perfect. They're just following you, but where are you going? You're going to Jesus. You're going to Jesus with a perfect heart. You're going to Jesus. So let them follow you. Look, all you got to do is simply ask people to join you in your process. Remember, you're not finished yet. You're still in the process. So let people join you in the process. It's nice to have company on a long journey. I'm going to live this journey. I'm going to walk this journey for the rest of my life. And I like having you guys with me. I like walking with you because you're cool. I like hearing your stories. I like seeing when you trip on a root and fall down flat on your face because I see you get back up again. And I like it when I fall off the side of the mountain myself because then you're there to help me. The Bible says this, right? Woe be it to the man who walks alone, for when he falls, there's no one there to pick him up. I want people around me to pick me up. I don't need anybody kick me when I'm down, right? Like, some of us don't want to walk with other people because they're liable to kick us in the head as they go past and like. No, we're there to help each other. Can you say amen? I'm going to land this plane relatively quickly, but I got to talk to you about what happens. See, you want to become a bringer. If you've not been a bringer to Jesus in the past, you want to become a bringer. I want to tell you that there are benefits to you to becoming a bringer. See, everybody wants to know what's in it for me. I'm about to tell you what's in it for you. Here's what's in it for you as a bringer. Number one, when we invite and bring others with us, it changes our view of our church. Here's what happens. This is really real, very basic, very purposeful. Look, when we bring somebody, like I want to just highlight, like Jason and Kelly have been bringing Jeanette. I'm so glad that you're here, Jeanette. It's great to have you with us. But you know what? They literally, not figuratively, they literally are bringing Jeanette. They go and pick her up at her house, which is, by the way, in the opposite direction of here. They go and pick her up, and then they bring her with them, and they're literally bringing, right? And that's important because they're walking that out. But let me tell you what happens when somebody like this, or like many of you, bring somebody to your church. Number one, you want and you pull for everything to be excellent. You really hope that Pastor Jake knocks it out of the park on that message that day. You hope to God that he doesn't call you and embarrass you or whatever like that. I don't do that to people, only my family, because I love them so much. But you know what? You want everything to be excellent. Oh, man, I hope that the guys in the back weren't listening to chainsaws yesterday so they can actually hear the music and so that they can mix it right. Man, I hope everybody sings every note just right. Oh, I hope they're not off pitch today because we don't use auto-tune here. And you know, I hope that the greeters are on point. I hope that they're not grumpy. In fact, I'm going to bring them a cup of coffee when we show up so that they'll be energized. You want everything to be excellent because you're seeing things through someone else's eyes. You want everybody to be warm and welcoming. You hope that your friend that you brought and that you went out of your way and you overcame your fear to invite and you're like, you got to come with me. These are the best people on the planet. And then everybody's like, you don't want people like that. You want people to be like, hey, how's it going? It's so great to see you. You want that? Be that. Be that for other people too. When you got other people coming with you, man, you hope that people treat them nice, don't you? They're your guest. We want everyone to be enthusiastic. We sure hope that when worship and praise is going on, people aren't like, jump, jump. Jump in the river, gonna jump, jump, jump in the river, gonna, right? I mean, you just want them to be like, yeah, this is awesome. You want people to be enthusiastic. What else happens is that we see our church through someone else's eyes. We see the good things. We see sometimes the things that, ooh, why do we do that? See, sometimes we have to take a step outside of ourselves and we got to take a look at it and be like, why do we do that? And then I hope that I get some phone calls from y'all like, Pastor Jake, why do we do that? And I hope to God that I have a good biblical answer for you. Why do you make people come up and bring the offering up front? Well, because the Bible says bring all the tithes. It doesn't say send all the tithes. It doesn't say throw it up there. It doesn't say just give electronically. It says bring the tithe into the storehouse. That's why we bring it. Why do you put it in baskets? Well, because it's convenient. Because it's harder for the usher to stand up here like this and hold it all. There's nothing special about the gold basket. It's just a basket. I mean, we could use a Kentucky Fried Chicken container. Oh, I'm sorry. Fried is not PC anymore. KFC. We could use a bucket, a chicken bucket, a Zippy's bucket. It doesn't matter. The point is bring the tithe. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Check it out. Our perspective on having relationship with God and its excitement can be renewed by seeing someone else experience dramatic, lasting change. The same things we've experienced ourselves. You can relive it through someone else's eyes. Some of the places that I've been, I like to go with new people because it refreshes the excitement of being in that place. You know, my dad drove tours for like 20 years, right? But I had never seen him bored on a tour. Over here on the right, we have mountains. On your left, the Pacific Ocean. Never. Because every time that he drove the tour, he got to see it through tourist eyes. You know, back before we had as many vehicles on the island, like, people would get off of the plane, and they would say things to him like, I can smell the flowers in the air. It's like, really? I just smell B.O. You know, but they could smell it. There was this heightened sense of everything tropical. I mean, they would go to the international marketplace when it was really raging down there, and they would pick out the loudest, nastiest polyester aloha attire, matching husband and wife with their socks and Tevas. Yeah. But they were loving it. And you know what? He would just play into that. Man, isn't it great? This is paradise. Man, I've seen people come to the islands, and they're just like, I can't wait to leave this place. Guess what? You got to get around some tourists. You got to get around some people that have never been here before, been in a landlocked state their whole life. They'll light your fire. See, that's why you got to bring people, because it'll reignite your excitement for Jesus Christ. Will you give me a couple more minutes? You know, Jesus found great excitement, great enjoyment, and began to recall his own experiences when those following him had success in doing God's will. Check it out, Luke chapter 10, verse 17 through 20. It says this, then the 70 returned with joy, saying, Lord, even the demons are subject to us in your name. And then Jesus hopped in on it after they had their successful moment. He said, look, I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven. It was epic. Behold, I give to you authority to trample on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. Now check it out. What he does in this next highlighted portion is that he begins to teach them now, to instruct them, to disciple them. But even though you've had this great success, nevertheless, don't rejoice in this. That success, that's nothing. That's just an experience, and that's going to fade. But what you should be rejoicing in is that your names are written in heaven. He started teaching them. Look, when people start following after you, you're going to have something to teach them. All you have to do, the good news is, you just have to be one step ahead of them. You don't have to be light years ahead of them. You just have to be one step ahead of them. And when you're one step ahead, you can teach them where you just been. Amen? Look, I want to tell you that when we put ourselves out there, so to speak, God shows up for us. You want God to show up? Here's the secret. Go show out for Jesus. When you want Jesus to show up for you, go do something for him. Put yourself out there. Here's what the Bible says in 2 Chronicles 16, 9. It says, for the eyes of Yahweh, that's God Almighty himself, roam throughout the entire earth to show himself strong for those whose hearts are completely his. You notice it doesn't say that he shows up strong for perfect people. He shows up strong for people whose hearts are completely his, whose hearts are perfect towards him. Not when you're perfect, when you just like, yeah, God, I'm going to do it. I'm going to try. I'm going to do my best. I'm going to face my fears. God's going to show up big. But you see, it says, you have been foolish in this matter. What's this matter? Not having our hearts completely his. We've been foolish in not calling on the name of the Lord and asking him to show up big for us. Mark 16, 20 says this, and I'm going to end in just a moment right here. It says, and they went out and preached everywhere, the Lord working with them and confirming the word through the accompanying signs. You want to see God do miracles? Go preach. Amen. You want to see God do miracles? Talk him big. You want to see God do miracles? Go do something. He ain't going to go there by himself. He's going to go with you. Amen? Amen? God working with them. Not God working solo. God working with them. Amen. He's going to go when you go. I want to give you just some quick practical tips to bringing, and I'm going to end it right there. Some practical tips to bringing. Number one, putting thoughts of great expectations in people's minds when you invite them to come to church with you is always a good practice. Don't go making excuses. It's probably going to be lame. You know, Pastor Jake is just a marginal preacher. And, you know, there's going to be some not nice people there. But you really should come. Like, I know there's some people that really enjoy down-to-earth food. I do not. So I'm not picking on you. It's just we have different strokes for different folks. Like, I'm not going to tell anyone that they should go and eat it down to earth. I'm not even going to tell them anything about that, except that you should go and try it. Have an experience. You see, I'm not going to go and talk them down. I'm just going to not even say anything. But it's important to put a great expectation in somebody else's mind. If you tell somebody that Disneyland is going to be lame, and then they start building that up in their mind, yeah, it's going to be lame. It would take an act of God to break them out of that. Yeah. Tell them great expectations. Tell them you're about to meet some of the most superlative people on the planet. You're about to enter into a judge-free zone. You are about to meet some people that will love you right where you're at. You're about to find a God who is alive and knows your stuff. And you know what? He's going to do something about it. Build expectation. Here's the next thing. What is the very best aspect of the ark that you can honestly point to? If you're trying to be a salesperson and pull a fast one over people, they will see right through you. Find something that you love about this place. If there's nothing that you love about this place, I don't know why you're here. Pastor Stewart looks over to me and says this morning, in accordance with what was being asked to do, he said, "I'm so glad you're here today." I bet you are, because who else is going to preach? You need me today. See, but what's the very best aspect? If it ain't my preaching, don't talk about my preaching. If the best aspect is the snacks afterwards, then focus on that. We're going to have some snacks afterwards. And I know you always hungry. Find the best aspect and then promote that out of your own truthfulness. You know, here's the next one. When we are sporadic in our attendance, it can be difficult to bring someone with us. Can I say this? Can I beg with you? Be consistent. And even if you're not being consistent for you, be consistent for someone else. Be consistent, because when you bring them, then they'll come with you. You know, every time that Jason comes, Jeanette comes. Amen. It's amazing. But you know, if he wasn't going to come one day, well, then maybe we'd have to ask Sandy if she could come and bring Jeanette. Or maybe we'd have to find another way. Or we're going to just believe that Jeanette's going to be so healed that she's going to be driving and bring herself. That's going to be awesome. I'm looking forward to that day. But you know what? We got to be consistent if we're going to be a bringer. Yep. Finally, bringing someone is always superior to telling someone that they should go. You know, it's like, why do you keep trying to send me to the gym? Like, you know, you should really go work out. Yeah. How about let's go work out? My wife and I have an agreement in our marriage. It was sort of like a prenuptial. And we agreed that if either of us started getting pudgy, we had the right to tell the other person, "Sweetheart, let's go for a jog." I'm not even kidding you. That, and we would never own a minivan. Those are the two things. Now, that no slam on minivans. I know they're super convenient. You can park right up against a wall and open your door. I get it. I totally get it. Lots of cup holders, all the entertainment options. It's just not for us. Like down-to-earth food is not for me. Those were our two things. Those were the deal breakers for us in our marriage. Can I just give you one thing? One thing. Thank you for enduring a few extra minutes. Just one thing. Become a bringer by inviting and bringing someone with you next week. I suggest that you start ahead of time. Please don't wait till Saturday night. I mean, start now. Like, 1 week from today, come with me. Let's meet up. I'll take you out for lunch afterwards. I mean, do whatever you need to do. You might have to overcome some obstacles. Maybe it's a transportation obstacle. Maybe it's a time obstacle. Whatever. It's like, no, let's go. Let's go. Come with me. I'm gonna go. Let's go. They've got snacks. Everybody loves snacks. So become a bringer.